Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Inner Life here for this Monday, the memorial of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm Josh Raymond, and I want to say a big thank you before we get into the topic of the show today, because last week, if you were listening, you would have heard us mention that it was our pledge drive, and our goal, our need was $3 million. We came in a little bit over $3.1 million. That was from 15,000 plus donations that came in last week. So more than anything, I want to say thank you for your support, your continued generosity in helping Relevant Radio in its mission of bringing Christ to the world through the media. And if you made that donation, yeah, thanks for being generous. If you didn't listen last week, well, we are listener supported, and you know, the financial gifts that you give, they help us improve programming. They help us to improve our website and our app where people listen to the live stream, or if they go and listen to podcasts with more resources there. Also, to potentially broaden the footprint of Relevant Radio through new stations, new translators, ways that we can reach new people in new communities. So if you didn't donate last week, because we are a nonprofit, any amount that you donate is tax deductible, and you can still make that pledge and help out our pledge drive from last week. And the number you can call is 877-291-0123, or you can donate through our website, relevantradio.com, or through the Relevant Radio app. But again, thank you. Thank you for making it such a great week and for being a part of Relevant Radio. So have you done much traveling this summer? This is, I think, the first summer that's felt a little more normal for traveling, for vacations, since the beginning of the pandemic. Now, when I was younger, several of our vacations in the summer would revolve around meeting other family, extended family, for some sort of time together. You know, whether we stayed at their house or they visited us or we met up somewhere, got a hotel or rented a cabin or whatever it is, maybe did the whole tourist kind of thing in a different town. But the older I got, the less we did this. Those times became spread out further and further apart. And when I was in high school, a good friend of mine pointed out that for his family, mainly it was if there was a funeral. That was what instigated this kind of impromptu family reunion. And I realized he was right. This had been the case in our family, too. I mainly saw those extended relatives, you know, maybe a great aunt or a great uncle, some of the second cousins. It was either at a wedding or a funeral that we got together for the most part. And so when my wife, Baylen, when her grandfather, Philip, he passed away in May of 2018, about 4 years ago. And Baylen, she initially said, it's just going to be easy for me to travel alone. I'll go to the funeral by myself, because it was 2 days of driving to get there where he lived. He was in Billings, Montana. And it would be cheaper for travel expenses. We wouldn't have to take the kids out of school. But I told her, I said, no, we really need to all go. We need to get all the kids. We need to go as a family, since this would be one of those rare times where her entire side of the family would come together. It was one of those impromptu family reunions. And that's exactly what it turned out to be. Now, Baylen's grandfather, Philip, he died at 93 years old, living a nice long life. And so the wake and the funeral mass, they really were a celebration of his life, you know, sharing stories of the kids growing up. And there was that legacy of his children, so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren at that point. There were, of course, some of the sad moments, especially with Philip's children. But the saddest moment that I actually witnessed during that time during the funeral, it was not regarding the loss of Philip. It was at the cemetery, and they had had the mass that morning. It was late morning. We were out there at the cemetery, and it was after the burial ceremony part had concluded. And all of the family and friends, we'd all started walking back to our vehicles, and a small group had stopped about 50 yards from Philip's gravesite looking at another tombstone. And this grave was that of Tom. This was Philip's second youngest son. Tom, he was married to June, and they had a little daughter, maybe 4 or 5 years old, when Tom had been diagnosed with cancer. And he died in his early 30s, leaving his wife, June, a widow and a quite young single mother. And so here we were on the day of Philip's funeral, and it had primarily been, like I say, that celebration of a long life. But now here, June, she was standing there at Tom's grave almost 30 years after Tom's death. And she was just crying in absolute sorrow, the tears just pouring down her face. She'd never remarried. She'd stayed very close to Tom's family throughout the years. And seeing June standing there with some of the other family that were around her, hugging her, you know, an arm around a shoulder, comforting her through that grief, but seeing that loss that was still so close to the surface for her, even after almost 3 decades, that was the moment that really made me choke up that day. And most of us have lost someone close to us. Maybe it's your parent who died earlier than you expected. Maybe you're in that same situation as June, having lost a spouse when you expected to be married to them for another 20, 30, 40 years. Or if you've lost a child, I cannot imagine that hurt, such loss that would never go away no matter how many years pass by. In those moments of loss, in those moments of loneliness, when you're trying to process the grief and the pain, how can your faith be a comfort for you? How should it be a comfort? How does God want to help you in those moments? This is what we want to talk about today here on The Inner Life. And joining us is our spiritual director, Father Rob Kroll, is back with us once again. Father Rob is a Jesuit priest, and he's the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee. Father Rob, welcome back to The Inner Life. It's always good to talk with you.
Hey, good morning, Josh, and to all our listeners. Yeah, it's good to be back with you today, and certainly our topic today, I think, is a very important one, so happy that I can join you in the conversation.
Well, and for the most part, you know, we're going to talk about, as I mentioned with, you know, June and her loss of a husband, you know, the death of somebody that we care about. But of course, there can be other kinds of loss that we experience in our life that can be just as, it can bring that same sort of grief and that same sort of loneliness, and can be as permanent in its own unique way. So maybe before we dive specifically into the loss of someone through death, maybe you can talk about some of those other areas of loss and how we see that, how that impacts us in our lives.
Sure. No, I'd be happy to. And, you know, just on that topic of death, you know, you were talking about the death, of course, of human beings that we love. But I can remember as a kid, we had a number of cats during the years I was growing up, and one of them got hit by a car and was killed in this accident. I can still remember the police officer coming home with just the cat's collar, you know, and my parents and I were the ones at home at the time. And, you know, we had a good cry. And so death can be also about a beloved pet. You know, many of us have, I'm sure, experienced that, you know, whether it's through an accident like that or having to maybe put down a pet that was old and suffering. But we can get very attached, and you know, God has created the world in such a way that we can, create bonds with other creatures too. But other forms of loss that I think, you know, are important to identify as we begin our program would be, for example, a divorce, separation of some kind where the loved one hasn't died, but there is certainly a traumatic loss involved in that separation or that divorce. I think, too, often another form that we have to deal with is through an injury or some kind of disability, you know, maybe something that we've suffered at the workplace, or just as we get older, maybe we lose our autonomy, we lose our ability to do some of the activities that we love, certain sporting activities or other things that gave us joy and gave our life meaning through leisure, and maybe we just can't engage in those anymore because of an injury or because of age. You know, moving to a new place. As a Jesuit, I've moved around a lot in my life, and I'm grateful to God for the life that I've lived, and He's opened up many new doors and many new places, many new relationships. But I know that, you know, after living in a place for 3 years or 6 years, whatever the case may be, there's a real grieving involved in saying goodbye to people. And, you know that you'll stay in touch maybe with a handful, but many of those relationships, you know, are difficult to sustain over the miles and over the years. And then also, like maybe a child leaving home, you know, we talk about the empty nest syndrome, but any time that a child might head off to college or move, you know, away from living down the street to living somewhere across the country or across the world, that can be a real loss as well. So grief can come in many forms, and it can be a reaction to many different types of losses.
Well, you know, one of the words you use there, we have these attachments to different people. And for the most part, I mean, especially since God has created us to live in community with others, mm-hmm. As long as that attachment isn't inappropriate or maybe in, you know, it's not a deeper attachment than it should be, it seems like that might be where we would say, well, those attachments to our spouse or our children, our parents, they can be kind of healthy attachments that do allow us to really experience love, which then gives us insight into God Himself. You know, God is love. So the way we experience love in those relationships that where we have those deep attachments, it might be one of those areas where I guess, and this is me just thinking out loud in the moment here, but we try and detach from other things that keep us from heaven. But since this is one of those areas that kind of enlightens us as to what gives us a foreshadowing of what heaven might be like, seems like those attachments are maybe not as bad as some of the other attachments we have in our life.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, I think that, we're created by a God of love, and we're created for love. We're supposed to love God and love our neighbor. And by that, of course, we are talking about charity, about willing the good of the other. But the reality is that a healthy, normal human being falls in love and creates bonds of love with different people, family members, friends, lovers that you might, person you might marry, and so forth. So there's different types of love, but whether it's, you know, family affection, whether it's philia or friendship with a good friend, whether it's eros with a spouse, the reality is that we do create those deep attachments, and we're meant to, you know. And so how tragic is it for a person to go through life without ever experiencing grief or loss because they don't have deep emotional bonds with other people? And I think one of the takeaways I hope our listeners have today, Josh, is that we know that they realize, that we all realize, that grief and is a normal human reaction. It happens, you know, frequently throughout our lives at different levels with different intensities, but it's not something, you know, that's strange or unusual. And so we will all experience grief, and we have to be willing to kind of accept that. And I want to just help us to normalize that today so that we don't see it as something odd. You know, sometimes people, grief, if it's super prolonged and super intense and it leads to kind of a depression, you know, that's something that, you know, needs to be faced and dealt with gently and maybe with the help of a good counselor. But, all of us experience grief, but I think it's also important to realize that there's not kind of one size fits all here. We do talk in general about certain stages of grief or certain symptoms of grief, but everybody grieves differently, and the intensity of it, the length of it can vary, and there's no kind of one standard that we need to conform to.
I'm talking with Father Rob Kroll here today on The Inner Life. Father Rob is a Jesuit priest, the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee, and talking about grief and loss and even some of the loneliness that can come along with that. And want to open up the phone lines for your call. Our phone number here into the studio, 888-914-9149. What has helped you in that time of grief, that time of loss? How did God help you offer that comfort when you needed it the most? Or maybe you're really struggling with some sort of loss, maybe the loss of a loved one right now, and you're not feeling that comfort. It's been a real struggle for you. If you need a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of help, you're welcome to call in and speak with Father Rob. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And, you know, as you're talking about that this is a normal human reaction, Father, that in some way all of us are going to experience the loss of someone. I mean, you know, it's just all of us, you know, unless the second coming of Jesus happens very soon here, all of us will eventually die. And so we all have this knowledge intellectually. We have this certainty that we're going to die, that everyone we know will die, whether it's us first or them first, it will happen for all of us. But I think we also then, it's so common for us to try not to think about it, to act as if we will indeed live forever. Why do you think we have this attitude, especially, I guess, when it comes toward death, that we want to kind of push it aside and not think about it? You know, it's actually religion, it seems, really is a big catalyst to help us come to terms with we are all mortal, we're going to die. What happens after we die, so we can actually prepare ourselves. But even for those of us who are, you know, in the church, it can so often be, it's easier not to think about it and to simply just kind of live in the moment.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that actually you're mentioning the fact that, you know, we know that we're going to die and that everyone we love eventually is going to die as well. It highlights maybe a type of grief that we don't think about very often. When we usually talk about grief, we're talking about after the fact, you know, after someone has died or after we've experienced a loss. But there is also kind of an anticipatory grief. We can actually begin to feel sad or fearful or angry as we prepare for a loss. So maybe as someone, you know, that we love dearly has stage 4 cancer and we know that they don't have much time left on this earth, or maybe we know that we're going to be changing careers or moving geographically, you know, in the coming months. And so already before the fact, grief can be a reality in our lives. And you know, I think that our faith, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in the course of our program, our faith is a huge help to us, a great support and resource to us as we deal with feelings of grief. But just because we have faith and just because we believe in heaven or we believe in God's providence always at work in our lives, that doesn't mean we should, as people of faith, suppress feelings of grief or sadness or anger. It doesn't mean that we're somehow set apart from the rest of humanity and we just kind of float merrily above all of these difficult, you know, feelings and experiences and fears. So I think that's really important for us to you know, recognize that, yes, we do have hope because of our faith, and it is our faith that will help us to move through grief to a later posture, you know, of great joy and so forth. But, you know, in the moment and in the months, maybe even years after a deep loss, we're going to feel it, and that's okay. And, you know, I think we can take comfort in the fact that Jesus himself grieved. We're told in John's Gospel, chapter 11, that he wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. He grieved he lamented and grieved over Jerusalem because of their hardened hearts and their rejection of him. Certainly our Blessed Mother, we even have a devotion in our Catholic Church on the seven sorrows of Mary, you know, the seven different moments when she was confronted with loss and had to deal with grief. And there are many, many saints, and we can maybe talk about some today, that are kind of patrons for us of grief and bereavement. So anyway, just again, to normalize the experience and not, I think one of the temptations, especially maybe for us men, you know, we think that somehow grieving and crying and weeping and all that is not manly, or it's not appropriate, or or for people of faith, it demonstrates a lack of faith that we're feeling so much grief. Not at all. Not at all.
Again, Father Rob Kroll, our spiritual director here on The Inner Life today. And Father, maybe after the break we can talk. You also made mention of there are certain kind of general stages that we can see sure. when we're dealing with grief and loss. So maybe we can talk about that when we come back from the break here. Again, our phone number, 888-914-9149. How has your faith been that stronghold for you when you've gone through that grieving process, when you've lost someone maybe that you love? And maybe you're going through that process right now, and it just doesn't seem to be getting any better, and you'd like some advice, some encouragement. You can call in and speak with Father Rob, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Back in just a moment here on The Inner Life. You're listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester, an Illinois life insurance society not available in all states. Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and today talking with Father Rob Kroll. He is a Jesuit priest. He's the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee, talking about loss, about grief, about loneliness, and taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, before we go to the phones, let's talk about some of those stages that you had mentioned that we can kind of see, you know, even though each person might have a unique circumstance, you know, things that are, it makes it an individual loss when somebody passes away, when they're dealing with that grief and that loss. But we know that there are certain things that seem general in the way that people experience loss. Can you walk us through some of those general stages that we see when we do deal with loss?
Sure. And a lot of this comes from a kind of a famous book written in 1969 by a woman named Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She kind of popularized this idea that we go through various stages of grief. Although before mentioning them, I do want to highlight too that she herself said that, you know, this isn't meant to be a rigid framework by any means. Some people resolve their grief without going through, you know, any or certainly not most of these stages. And actually, near the end of her life, when she was not long before her death, she said in an interview, "There's really no typical response to loss. Our grieving is as individual as our lives." So, having said that, I think still a lot of people, you know, do recognize that there's certain patterns that are kind of common to our human experience. So often, one of the first stages or one of the first reactions we have is kind of denial. We're overwhelmed. We may be so shocked by the loss that we don't really even feel anything emotionally. And so the first stage might be that of just saying, you know, this can't be happening to me. It's just sort of unbelievable, especially if it's something very unexpected and sudden. And then that might give way to another stage, which involves anger. You know, why is this happening? First, it might be, I can't believe this is happening. And then it could be, you know, why is this happening to me? And we might be angry at, you know, the doctors for not saving this person's life. Or maybe we're angry at God because God allowed the person to die. If it's a suicide, it might even be anger towards the person for having taken their life. So anger can be a common reaction along with sadness. Another stage that some people go through is that of what we call bargaining. And it's sort of a, you know, like a stage that says, You know, if somehow this loss can be repaired, I mean, obviously, if a person has died, we don't necessarily expect them to come back to life. But maybe if there's some other loss, and there's a hope that we might, you know, retrieve whatever was lost, we might say, God, you know, if you bring this job back into my life, or if this relationship can be restored, I will do X, Y, or Z. You know, I'll go back to church or whatever. So there's kind of a sense of like a quid pro quo or a bargaining position. Not unusual for people to go through another stage of depression. Then, you know, when they realize that the loss is really final. That there's not going to be a return of the person or of the situation, we can experience a pretty deep depression and sadness. And then the last stage, which, you know, would be kind of the terminus of all this, would be a stage of acceptance, you know, of finally arriving at a certain level of peace with what has happened, and kind of integrating that loss into our lives and moving on, you know, with renewed meaning and purpose. So hopefully every grieving process arrives at that stage. I think those are kind of some typical reactions that we might have. Grief, it's a funny phenomenon, because I mentioned already that we can have this anticipatory grief. We can anticipate a loss, be it the death of somebody or the loss of a job, some kind of unresolved situation that is coming up. But there's other forms of grief too, and so for example, grief can be delayed. We can talk about a certain delayed grief, where I was just talking recently with a friend of mine whose mother died, and it took him a number of months before he even began to feel sad. And that could be either because of just the busyness in our lives, or maybe it's just such a shock and we don't want to go into the grief and sadness that we, you know, somehow delay the grief. Grief can also be exaggerated. So maybe a rather small loss can trigger what would be objectively an excessive sadness or grief. Grief can also be masked. So maybe after a loss, grief starts interfering with our normal daily functioning, but we're not really aware that those behaviors are the result of a loss. So the grief is kind of masked to us. There's different forms of grief, and again, each person grieves differently.
Right.
Going back to these stages, maybe a better image for grief is that of a roller coaster. You know, most of us have ridden a roller coaster, and we know that the coaster initially goes up high, and it's kind of going up this steep slope, and then it kind of goes down to this low valley, and then it kind of goes up again. And so I think our experience of grief is often not just like we don't go through lockstep stages very neatly one after another, but our grief kind of ebbs and flows. And we kind of get better for a while, and then maybe it strikes us again, especially maybe on the anniversary of a death or some moment down the line.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking too, because, you know, even when you might get into that acceptance process of grieving, there still can be, like you say, whether it's the anniversary. I'm thinking of my grandmother. You know, after my grandfather died, in the years after that, whenever we'd visit her, you know, regularly, every time we would say goodbye and back out of her driveway, she pulled out a handkerchief and she was dabbing her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And she had tears every time that we left. And I think it was that loneliness that just kind of hit her all over again. You know, she had people in her house, we were visiting, and then she'd walk back into a house after we left where she was all on her own. And maybe you can talk about that for a moment too. When we lose someone, especially a spouse, when we have so much of our time that is now spent alone, even
if
we've gotten to a point of acceptance, there's still the loneliness. How do you think someone in that situation can learn to cope with that loneliness as best as possible? Because I've got to imagine that depression just kind of comes back every once in a while.
Right.
You know, that sadness, even in the acceptance stage.
No, you're absolutely right, Josh. And it may not come back with the same intensity or as prolonged as it did initially, but Yeah, I've had people, you know, on retreats or in pastoral counseling situations where many years after the death of their spouse, they still, you know, shed some tears. And I think, again, that's probably a good thing, because it indicates how deep the love was for the person. And, you know, one of the things we don't really realize is when somebody we love deeply dies, we're not grieving just the death of that person or the loss of that person, but there's sort of these secondary losses that come along with it. So we can talk about the fact that, you know, I kind of lose a part of myself. I mean, especially in a marriage relationship that maybe has been, 50 years or a number of decades, I mean, there's a certain loss of my own identity, because part of who I am and, you know, it was tied up with this other person. So, yeah, I'm grieving the loss of the person, but there's also a loss of my own sense of self and identity, maybe a loss of self-confidence. Maybe this spouse was a real rock for me, and now with his or her death, I'm facing insecurity, I'm facing some fear. Maybe I have to change my lifestyle now. You know, now that my spouse has died, I have to move into an assisted living situation, or I have to move from the house, you know, to a condo or something. So there's sort of, you know, other losses that come along with the loss of my spouse. So, so I think it is really important just, again, to normalize all this and to recognize that, the tears, even many years later, are not only normal, but they may be a positive thing, and that they just indicate that this was a gift from God. This person was a real gift from God, you know.
Right. I've got another question about a family. My cousins and one of the kids died when she was 17 years old in a traffic accident. And what happened out of that? But before we get into that and some of those unique circumstances in that situation, let's go to the phones, Father. And again, I want to throw out the phone number here. If you'd like to call in and speak with our spiritual director, Father Rob Kroll, the phone number is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. As we talk about grief, about loss, and how we can process and make it through those sad moments when we experience that loss, and how our faith helps us, how God comforts us when we need that. And again, you're welcome to call us, 888-914-9149. Father Carmen is listening in New Jersey. Hi, Carmen. You're on the air with Father Rob.
Hi, Father.
Carmen.
Yes, hi, Father. How you doing?
I'm well, Carmen. How are you today?
Well, today, every day I feel the same with my mother. I lost my mother in January. And every day, because I was the only child, and I took care of her here 8 years, and, you know, and it's very hard. It's been hard, but every day the way I cope is I say her divine mercy for her, and then I talk to her that this is dedicated for her and all the souls in purgatory, and also I say the rosary, and I tell her how we used to pray together when we were together and previously, and we prayed together, you know, we sing together to God. And, that helps me to communicate with her. I have to talk to her to feel better.
Beautiful, Carmen. Thanks for sharing that experience. And I think you highlight something really important, which is, you know, as people of faith, we believe that our loved ones are, you know, in the hands of God. And you mentioned purgatory, and I think, you know, we need to be praying for our loved ones and praying for their full healing and purification. But even as that process is happening, you know, we can have great hope, and we can also reach out to them. You know, we can speak to them, as you said, and you talked about, it sounds like you had just a wonderful relationship with your mother, and one that was rooted in faith. You prayed together. You sang to God together. So I think, holding on to those really wonderful memories is a help to us when we're grieving, kind of recalling much of the beauty of the relationship. And then, just trusting that now you have gained an intercessor, someone who can pray for you as you pray for her and for her continued healing. So yeah, thanks for you know, being vulnerable and sharing with us something of your own process.
Yeah, Carmen, glad to have you on the program today. Father Rob, so let me ask you about this family that they're my cousins, and the daughter, she was 17 years old, died in a traffic accident, and her death was really traumatic for that family. Her parents ended up divorcing a few years later, and I'm sure they both were hurting in such a profound way, but apparently they just couldn't find comfort together through that pain. And we were talking a little bit about the isolation, about the loneliness. You know, with my grandmother, she really was in a house all by herself. These people, these cousins of mine, they were in a house together. There were two other daughters, but they all pulled away from each other. And I don't know if it was only one of the spouses that pulled away or if it was something that both of them did. But that one person that they should have looked to for support, for love, that was the person, you know, that should have been the one that they should have been able to cry with. But for whatever reason, they just couldn't do that together and for each other. And it was such a sad situation. You know, if that's the kind of setting that we find ourselves in, any advice for somebody who says, you know, gosh, I don't know if I can open up? Because I guess I understand how it might be easier to pull away from others when you are hurting. You don't want to let your guard down. You know, you've got this hurt, and you have to be vulnerable to trust somebody when you share those kinds of feelings. So if we're already hurting, especially because of the loss of a child, if you open yourself up to somebody else and they have the ability to bring even more hurt and more pain, you know, and I'm at a place where I say, I just don't think I can handle that. It can make a shutdown. Any recommendations if I do find myself in this kind of situation?
Well, I think, yeah, ideally, you know, like you said, you want to be able to grieve together and to be able as spouses to share with one another that grief. And I know there might be a fear of, you know, intensifying the grief of the other person. But, you know, I think that sort of masking it or suppressing it or keeping it, you know, undercover isn't really going to be healthy. But I would say, you know, one thing that could be helpful is perhaps for each spouse to have a counselor or just a good friend, somebody that they can maybe grieve with, you know, outside of the family situation itself, too, at least initially, just to be able to face the feelings and to express them in, you know, in a very overt manner. You know, one of the things, too, that I think when it comes to grief, we need to find ways to express it that are creative and that are very tangible. So, for example, maybe the spouses in this situation could be each journaling about the grief that they're experiencing. Or maybe together, you know, they could put together some kind of a photo album or a scrapbook or something that, you know, is a way of going through. Again, it's painful, you know. So I guess what I'm suggesting is, while it's scary and it's natural to want to avoid entering into the intense pain and the sadness that this death of the 17-year-old would involve, I don't know if there's any shortcut or short-circuiting of it. I think probably the best thing is just to really take the plunge and realize that, you know, especially as people of faith, it's going to get better. But it'll only get better after an initial period when it feels really awful. You know, one thing, too, I think we should highlight, Josh, is while we talk about grief and sadness and loss on an emotional level, a psychological level, you know, it has other ramifications, too. So, for example, deep grief can really have physical ramifications. And so, you know, stress and fatigue, and we may not feel like eating, and we're not sleeping well. And so I think taking care of our physical health, too, is something we need to just highlight, that we have to maybe do what we can to, you know, sleep well and take walks. And we don't want to turn to alcohol.
It might take extra effort.
It might take extra effort, right. And again, to, like, really be willing to call on the support of others, be that close friends or a counselor or a support group. You know, there's plenty of grief, you know, support groups. But not to isolate and not to turn to behaviors, you know, like alcohol or things that are, you know, to just numb ourselves or change our mood artificially, but just, you know, just to really face the truth of what's happened and kind of trust that we're going to be able to navigate through it. And again, to kind of plan for triggers. We talked about anniversaries already, maybe certain holidays that we celebrated with the person come around, and we just need to be kind of, you know, gentle with ourselves and say, okay, this is probably going to be a day or a period where I'm really going to struggle again. But I think anything we can do to just face the truth of what we're experiencing and to express it in a very kind of direct and creative way, that's going to help us, you know, move forward in a real healthy, and it's just going to ease the process, you know.
Father Rob Kroll is our spiritual director here on The Inner Life, and we're talking about the loss of, it could be all kinds of different situations, but very specifically talking about when we lose a loved one, the grief, the loneliness, the different stages that we might go through, and of course, how our faith can help us in those times, and how has your faith been a help for you in whatever that grieving was that you had to go through? How did God comfort you when you needed it the most? Or maybe you're going through that grieving process right now, and it's been tough. It's you're not feeling that comfort, and you'd like some advice or some encouragement from Father Rob. You're welcome to call in and speak with him at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Back in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today we'd like to thank Mario, who's listening in South Carolina, for donating his Oldsmobile. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating your old vehicle by visiting relevantradio.com/car. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and I'm Josh Raymond. I'm joined by Father Rob Kroll. He is a Jesuit priest. He's the director of spiritual formation at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee. Today, talking about grief and loss and taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father Rob, before we go back to the phones, let's talk about, you mentioned earlier there might be anger that we deal with, and you would, when talking about that, you know, it could be all kinds of different circumstances, but I'm thinking specifically when somebody has taken their own life, you know, that suicide can bring up anger. But I think there's so many other questions that can then get raised with it. You know, could I have done something to prevent this? Could I have said something, done something more to help them so they wouldn't reach such a low point? There's a lot of guilt, right? So there's the guilt. And so maybe you can talk not only anger, but guilt that we might be dealing with, and how to come to a place where we don't, I guess, over-guilt ourselves in that. But then there's also, worries from the family, and this can bring out even more fear of those who are here left behind. They're concerned about the soul of the loved one who might, you know, are they going to go to heaven because they took their own life? So maybe you can also talk about the love and mercy of God when it comes to somebody who, you know, mentally is, you know, not healthy, where they've reached that point of despair, they've taken their own life.
Sure, Josh. And I think this is, you know, in my own study of psychology, I think one of the great advances we've experienced, let's say in the last, you know, 150 or 200 years, is we've come to appreciate a lot better how a person in that kind of distress, you know, isn't really thinking clearly, and often, I mean, their freedom is not really fully engaged. So I think we realize that, I'm thinking of something like Dr. Kevorkian, who would actually, you know, like promote, you know, euthanasia or something like that. That's a whole different kettle of fish. But with a person that, you know, takes their own life out of deep depression, desperation, often it's after having dealt with, chronic depression or some kind of diagnosed mental illness. We realize that, you know, God in His mercy certainly, will embrace that person in His mercy and will bring the healing, you know, that wasn't found on this earth. And so I think we can have great hope, you know, that the person's going to find peace. And so even if objectively speaking, you know, we don't want to, you know, end our lives because they're meant to be a gift from God and so forth, we recognize today that, just the emotional element that a person, like, literally is, like, not in their right mind, you know, when they do this most of the time. So that should be of great comfort to us. And I think our church provides a lot of good resources that people, I mean, any death is traumatic, but a suicide can be especially difficult. So it's important, I think, for family members and friends of the person to really reach out for the help that they need, be that from a support group or from a counselor, you know, somebody, a good Catholic counselor who has that faith perspective and can help the person to move through it, especially processing, you know, feelings of guilt, like, yeah, did I contribute to this? Or, I mean, I've known, and probably we've all known people who have taken their lives that come from, you know, families, parents that are, I mean, no one's perfect, but I mean, they were very healthy and loving and well-adjusted. So it you know, it can often result from a biological condition, you know, that leads to the depression or to the person's struggles. So, yeah, it's complicated, but I think it we is, should have great hope.
Father, let's go back to the phones. Alan is calling in from Orlando, Florida. Hi, Alan. Welcome to The Inner Life. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, folks. Hi.
Hello.
Hope y'all are doing well today.
Thank you.
Yeah, go right
you
ahead,
are too, Alan.
Sure. I'll be brief. I lost my brother. Very, very strong relationship. He was like 18 years older than me on August 7th. But I had a chance to visit him. He had a six-month battle with cancer, with the gallbladder, unusual. But anyway, we had had a problem in the family, especially with my sister-in-law, his wife. But I was going to visit him one Saturday, about a week before he passed, and I had a strong sensation. I hadn't been saying the rosary, you know, like on a consistent basis, but I had a very strong urging from within, say the rosary, pray the rosary. So being Saturday, I said the joyful mysteries, and I had the most unbelievable feeling of euphoria. And all I can tell you is someone was hugging me from the inside, like a motherly hug. And the visit went well. I feel like when I walked in, there was no pressure. You know, I even quoted some scripture for my brother. I don't think he could hear me audibly, you would think. But anyway, you know, I'm grieving still. We met him 10 days ago, but she had a message, I believe. She said, everything is going to be all right, which I thought was remarkable because my brother, I'm a convert, and he's Protestant, but a very, very strong believer. So we felt good about his destination. But, you know, it's been tough. It is tough now. But, you know, she's a different kind of relationship with our Blessed Mother, you know, because of this. I think she intervened to comfort me at that moment.
Wow. Well, Alan, thanks so much. You know, as our program is winding down, I mean, what a beautiful testimony. And like you said, you're still grieving. I'm sure you will for a while, but I can hear real hope in your voice. And what a beautiful experience of having our Blessed Mother kind of embrace you in her love. And, you know, we talked earlier in the program about her being the having these seven sorrows, you know. And so she certainly is somebody we can turn to in our own grief. I mean, think about what she had to go through watching her son die and then, you know, being brought down from the cross. There's that beautiful Pietà image of Michelangelo's, and then, of course, him being laid in the tomb. So, she reached out to you in that moment, and you were able to receive her motherly solicitude and love, and that's beautiful. So, wow, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, good to have you on the program, Alan. Father, as you mentioned, we are winding down the hour, down to our last minute or so here, but... Mm-hmm. Before we wrap up, any books or resources, something else that you might point people to? Since I mean, we could talk about this for hours and hours and not exhaust the different aspects of this topic. But any resources you might point someone to if they're dealing with grief and need some
I would point people, first of all, to Scripture. And I think some of the Psalms, you know, if you were to Google, you know, grief Psalms or something, you'd come up with specific ones. And just in the interest of time, I won't get into specifics. But certainly Scripture and staying close to Jesus and his own experience and our Blessed Mother. Some of Paul's passages, too, like Romans 8, starting at verse 35, you know, there's some passages that can bring us real hope. I do think one book I might mention is a book entitled From Grief to Grace by a woman named Jeannie Ewing, E-W-I-N-G. She draws on some of the saints' lives as well in this book. And so, yeah, there's good resources out there, and thanks to our friend Google, we can find them pretty easily. So, but I say stay close to the inspired Word of God and in the Scriptures.
Beautiful. Father Rob Kroll, thanks so much for taking time to be with us here in our last 20 seconds. Could I ask you to offer a blessing to all of our listeners?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I ask you to send down your Holy Spirit upon all of our listeners, and especially upon those who, like Alan, may be dealing with recent losses that are deep. Help them to move through their grief with great hope and trust in your mercy and love. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Father Rob. Always good to talk with you. Thank you to Nick Santovich and Thomas Ann Gesser for helping to produce the program today. Also want to say thank you to you for helping Relevant Radio meet our goal of $3 million raised last week during our pledge drive. Had over 15,000 donations, and thank you so much for your continued generosity in supporting Relevant Radio. Of course, if you missed the pledge drive, you can still help us out with your tax-deductible donation. You can do that at our website, relevantradio.com, or on the Relevant Radio app. Stay tuned. Mass starts right now.